All right, Luke 12, verses 13 through 15. One of the company said unto him, our Lord, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And our Lord said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, his disciples mainly, Take heed. And beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Beware of covetousness. And then our Lord gave the parable of the rich materialistic fool. Well, one of the company, whoever that was, and I don't think it was one of his immediate disciples, but someone said to him, Master, talk to my brother. He's going to cheat me out of my inheritance. After all that our Lord said, words of life, so much just vital truth, this man was concerned about his inheritance. What inheritance are you concerned about? Am I concerned about? There's two types of inheritance. One is an earthly one. The other is a heavenly one. What inheritance am I really interested in? And whichever it is, it reveals the true state of our heart. Or where your treasure is. That's where your heart is. This is a serious subject, isn't it? Job, I want to be like Job. I hope I'm like Job. But Job had a great deal of earthly treasures, didn't he? And the Lord gave them to him, and he knew that. And the Lord took it all away. And what did Job say? The Lord gave, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, I was naked when I came here, and I'll be naked when I return. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He loaned it to him and he took it away. I want to be like that, don't you? That's a man who knows the Lord and loves the Lord, whose life is not in things. Abraham and Lot. Abraham was very rich in houses and land, gold and silver. He was a very rich man. And Lot owed everything to Abraham. Lot was his nephew. And Abraham took him under his wing, and everything Lot had, he owed it to Abraham. And there became strife because they had so many things. And isn't that the cause of most of our strife and worry and troubles and marital problems on things? Absolutely. And there was strife between them, and Abraham said to Lot, Let there be no strife between us. We be brethren. He said, Lot, whatever you want, you take it. I'll take the rest. Remember that? You take whatever you want, and I'll take the rest. Now, who knew the Lord? Which one of them knew the Lord? And Abraham, it says, dwelled in the mountains with the Lord. And Lot chose Sodom and the Sodomites. That's the world. And it remained to be seen if Lot knew the Lord at all until the very end. He seemed as one that mocked because his whole life was in Sodom with the Sodomite. And nobody could tell any difference in it. Until finally the Lord had great mercy on him and laid hold of him and brought him out. And said, this is not your place. I'm destroying this place. And Abraham, remember Abraham asked the Lord, Lord, what will you give me? He said, I give you me. I'm your reward. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. He that hath the Son hath life. A man's life consisteth not in the things which he possesseth, but in the Lord that possesses him. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath real faith, a real need for the Son, a real love for the Son, a real communion, a real relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ hath life. Others are mere pretenders. Listen to David. David, remember David in Psalm 37 was envious at the prosperity of the wicked. In Psalm 73, the same thing. He was envious. He said, but I went into the sanctuary with my brethren. And he said, I was so ignorant. I was such a fool to be envious of these perishing things of clay. He said, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there's none on earth I desire beside thee. Now that man knows the Lord, doesn't he? Knows the Lord. What about you? What about me? What about us? So the Lord said to this man, now look at his answer to this man, verse 14. Man, who made me a judge or divider over you? In other words, am I some estate lawyer just to divide up, divvy up stuff? You know, most people, that's all God is to most people, a sugar daddy. What are you going to do for me? Here's the irony of what our Lord just said. He is the judge. All judgment is given into His hand, and everyone will stand before His judgment seat to be judged by Him. And He is the divider, isn't He? He is the one that divides, separates the sheep from the goat. And He's the one, those who have the Son have life. Those who don't have the Son don't have life. So He's the dividing line. What do you take? The world or Christ? That's the separation. That's the sword. He's the sword. Well, then he says in verse 15, he utters this warning. Take heed and beware of covetousness. My, do we need this in this day of such extravagance as in materialism. May these sayings sink down deep in our ears. When he says take heed, and that word is used quite often, take heed, it means listen very carefully. Listen very carefully and do. I like to put the two words together, hear and deed, heed. Because you hear it, but you're blessed if you do it. Our Lord said, you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. He said, he that hath my words and keepeth them, that doeth them. Heed, take heed. Listen very carefully what I'm about to say. Beware of covetousness. Take heed. As I said so many times in the scriptures, particularly Hebrews, talks about heed. It says we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things we've heard, lest at any time we let them slip with the word salvation. It was heard by our Lord and the apostles. It goes on and on. Take heed, harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation, like the children of Israel. What was their problem? The world. They were overcome by the world. They were enticed by, tempted by the world. They wanted to go back to Egypt for leeks and onions. Go back to the slime pits. Back into bondage. For leeks and onion. I want to be like Moses, don't you? Considering the reproach of Christ, greater treasures than all the riches of Egypt. The reproach of Christ with His people. I want to be like that. I hope I am like that. So he says, take heed and beware. The word beware means be wary. Be watchful. Don't be sleeping. Or dull of hearing. Be wary. Be watchful. And scriptures always connects watching and praying together. And what we're doing is asking the Lord, make me beware. Lord, open my eyes. Open my eye. Be watchful unto prayer. For without Him, we cannot watch. Be on guard. Look out for covetousness. You know, our Lord calls covetousness idolatry, doesn't it? The last thing that John, we went through the first epistle of John not long ago. The very last words that he spoke were, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Why is it covetousness idolatry? Because if we love ourselves, if we love the world, if we love things more than God, then he's not our husband, is he? He's not. That Isaiah 54 is where he says that. Thy maker is thy husband. We either he is our beloved or he's not. It's just a fact. And what if you're married to a woman or a man and all they wanted in their relationship is things? If all they talked about and they didn't spend much time with you, they didn't talk to you, but they were always talking about things and how they could get more things. Is that a marriage? Is that love? Most of the older ones in here who were married many years ago, 40, 50, 60 some years ago, when you started out, you didn't have a thing, didn't you? Didn't have a thing. Hardly. Our furniture was broken down, was given to us. We set our couch up on bricks. We loved it. Thought it was the greatest couch we ever had. Kind of wish I had it back. We didn't need anything. Why? We had each other. Right? The old song, Living on Love. Well, that's life. Love. Isn't it? And that's the life in Christ. Love. Any man love father, mother, husband, wife, houses, land, anything more than me, Christ said. Not my disciple. Not my disciple. This is convicting in it. Covetousness. Covetousness. We all have a problem with it. It's a lust of the eyes. Desire for things. Lust. Lust means an intense longing for. Now, who in here does not have problem with covetousness? That you think about something you want, and you have a hard time thinking about anything else. Right? You get a little extra money, and you start thinking about how you're going to spend it. Anybody? I'm guilty. Someone gave me, this is a $100 Visa gift certificate. Wasn't that generous of them? Wasn't that nice of them? Well, I picked it up this morning, looked at it, and I started thinking, how am I going to spend this? Oh, I need this, I need that. You know what I ought to do? I ought to give it away right now. I'm not going to. It's mine. But that's us, isn't it? Seriously, we get an extra. Used to be, when I was 18, I had $5 in my pocket and a full tank of gas. Woo, boy. Watch out, world. Here I come. Right, Ron? All you think about. We laugh, but it's not funny. Because this is what separates God's true people from pretenders. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3 with me. 2 Peter chapter 3. And the whole third chapter of 2 Peter is him talking about the end. The end. The end. And he tells us what manner of people we ought to be. 2 Peter 3, and he talks about the world scoffing and mocking, say, where is the promise of his coming? It's 2020, 2020. He's not coming back. At the year 2000, they were pretty worried. Oh, yeah. At the millennium, everybody was a little concerned, though they wouldn't admit it. All right. So it came and went. See? 20 years have passed, and that's exactly what our Lord said would happen. At a time when you think not, and nobody's thinking about him, so he's not coming, there's nothing to this. Like that man said, the Bible's man-made, and I believe in science. And my beloved wife said to him, you're going to find out. That's for sure. You're going to take your chances. You're going to take God at His word. Look at 2 Peter 3, verse 11. Verse 10. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. Elements shall melt with fervent heat. That's not a nuclear bomb. That's the brightness of His coming. That's what Scripture said. He'll destroy with the brightness of His coming. Our God's a consuming fire, but those in Him aren't consumed. Those in Him won't be consumed. We don't. It'll melt. They'll all melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein. What works? Everything that man takes delight in and wants and lives for is just going to be gone. The surest way to do away with everything is burn it, where there's no trace of it whatsoever. Ashes to ashes. Dust to dust. Read on. Seeing then, verse 11, that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy, or that is heavenly, eternal conversation and godliness, looking forward to, hasting, that is talking about. You know, when you go on a vacation, you think about it and talk about it and prepare for it for a month ahead of time, don't you? Don't you? You're looking forward to it. That's where you want to go. That's what you want to do. You're going with somebody, family, whatever. That's what you look forward to. Well, that's what this means. Looking forward, hasting. And it's, you know, you talk about it all the time. It makes it near. It makes it real. Hasting the coming of the day of God, wherein, again, He reminds us, the heavens on fire will be dissolved. The element shall melt with a fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, bless the good news. We look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And after the body, there's nothing more they can do. Nothing more this world can do. It's over. It's all the pain and suffering and tears and sin and death is over. A land wherein dwelleth righteousness, joy, peace, the Holy Ghost, Christ and His people. You like to sing the songs of Zion. You like to hear the word of God pray. You just wait. We'll do it with a perfect heart, unspeakable joy, without end. You're going to be singing at the top of your lungs. And you're going to have the most wonderful voice. And everybody there is just like Jesus Christ. Verse 14, so beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent to be found of Him in peace without spot and blame. So go back to our text. So beware of covetousness. Now, all right, let's look at this parable. The Lord gave this parable to illustrate covetousness. He said, a man's life doesn't consist in the things he possesses. He spake a parable. Let's read verses 16 through 20. He spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground, mind you, of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Thou fool, the parable of the rich fool. What would a man give in exchange for his soul? Our Lord asked that one time. Well, most people are like Esau. The Lord called him a profane man, meaning that this world and everything in it was his life. He sold the birthright, his interest in God, eternal things, worship. He sold worship. He forsook the worship of God for a bowl of beans. He was a hunter. He's an avid hunter. And this is so relevant. So he was an avid hunter, and that was his life. And he came in from the field after hunting, and he was faint. He needed something to eat. And Jacob tricked him, but Jacob said, "Sell me your birthright." And Esau said, "What do you have there?" He said, "I'm cooking some sodden some pottage. I got some really good baked beans in a pot. That's about what I want." He said, "Here, take this on board. I don't need God. I'm hungry. Give me that." Scripture says God hated Esau. God hated Esau. Was that unfair for God to hate Esau? Esau hated God. He didn't care anything about God. He'd rather eat a bowl of beans than worship God. What would a person give in exchange for their soul? An 8-point buck, a 6-pound bass, tickets to the Super Bowl, tickets to Daytona 500, a 6-pack of Budweiser. Not anything. Right? Anything. Look with me at 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3. Oh, let this not be so with us. In 2 Timothy 3, the Lord talks about the last days. And you know, I think I was going to bring this up in the next message in May. Got all confused, but this certainly, I didn't realize how well these two messages go together. They said in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, "This know that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Men lovers of their own selves." All right, that's now. And covetous. Boasters, big talker, proud, blasphemer, God's name on their lips. Disobedient to parent, unruly children, unthankful. Nobody's giving thanks to God. Unholy, materialistic, without natural affection. Look down at verse 4. Traitors. Nobody's word is good for anything. Heady, high-minded. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. That, you say, why is that more now than any other time? Because there are more people now than ever. Because our Lord said, as in the days of Noah, when the whole earth had corrupted his way. The whole earth had corrupted his way. The whole earth had turned from the truth. 120 years, Noah said, "Come to get in the ark, get in the ark." 8 people. They asked the Lord, "Are there few that be saved?" Our Lord said, "When the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? Shall he find somebody who's really wanting him to come? Someone who really loves him and looks for him and waits for him. Are the few to be saved?" Our Lord said, "As in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be." The whole earth, some estimate that there were hundreds of millions of people on the earth at the time of the flood. All right, the Lord destroyed it all. And now, but it's repopulated. And in Matthew 24, the Lord gives many things concerning the very end. And he said, when the gospel is preached all over the earth, then the end's come. That's now. That hasn't been in any generation previous to this. But now the gospel is clearly heard everywhere. Have they not all heard? Yes, verily the sound has gone to the end of the world. Well, this rich man, look at verse 21. The Lord says, "So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." First of all, he took credit for everything that he had. You don't hear him giving God any glory, or he was unthankful. He was covetous. He was a boaster. He was proud. "My soul, look what you've accomplished. What way laid up for yourself." Lover of self, lover of pleasure, covetous, not unthankful. unholy, had no thoughts of God. He didn't say, Lord willing. There's nothing wrong with having a barn. There's nothing wrong with tearing it down and building another one. Okay? As long as you say, Lord, is this your will? As long as you say, Lord, thank you for what I have. There's not room for it. Maybe better to, I don't need all this. I'll give most of it away. There's nothing wrong with that. Job had, you know how many barns he must have had? How many camels did he have? Cattle? He had a lot of barns and a lot of servants. Nothing wrong with that. No evil in things. No evil in possessing things. But when they possess you, and you forget God, and you take glory for it, and you don't thank Him for it, and you don't give back a portion of what He's given you, and all you think about is things, not God, it's evil. Evil. Our Lord one time said, because iniquity abounds, the love of many shall wax cold. That has never been more true than now. Iniquity abounds. What kind of iniquity? Did you ever believe you'd see and hear what you're seeing and hearing now? Iniquity abounds. So the love of many, without natural affection, the love of a husband for what divorces up to about 60% now. Love of parents for the children, rather give them, have a career than raise their children. On and on it goes. Love of God, love of the truth, love of worship, love of God's word, love for the kingdom. No more concerned about saving our life. And our Lord said, if any man saves his life, if that's all you want to do, save your life, you're going to lose it. And it says there in Revelation, it says of these that the martyrs and those who beheaded for the gospel, like Hebrews 11, all those people that didn't accept deliverance, they said, bring it on. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, burn us up. And then it would all be over. Won't that be wonderful? It says of those, it said, they loved not their lives unto death. They loved not their lives. Who did they love then? Christ is their life. Go ahead, take us. That means we go to be with who we want to be, who we long to be with. This is the line in the sand. It really is. This man, he got everything from the ground. Do you notice that? From the ground. You know, that's where everything's going back. I've reminded us that all we have, and that what psalm is it that says, man returns to his earth. He returns to his earth. What we're going to end up with when we die is dirt. We're going to put us in a box and put us down in the dirt. And that's it. Everything we've ever done. A hole in the ground. Man, let these sayings sink down deep in my heart. Well, so the Lord said, oh, that's the way it is with those who lay up treasure for themselves and not rich toward God. This is the whole message in itself. Rich toward God. I want to be rich toward God. What's that mean? Rich toward God. It means rich in faith. And faith is not in the head. Because it'll flee from you. But if it's, Christ is in your heart, at the heart, man believeth with the heart, faith in the heart, understanding. You read Proverbs 8 for yourself. It talks about Christ. It said, I am riches. I am true riches. I give lasting riches and treasures. My riches, my treasure are greater than gold and silver. Rich in love, rich in joy, rich in peace, rich in contentment, rich in faith. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, don't you? That how He was rich, how rich He was, yet for our sake became poor, that we through His poverty might be made rich. You know that, don't you? Our Lord was rich beyond, I can't, no man can stand and talk about how rich our God Christ was. And what did he do? Why?
Love. I'm going to get my bride. She's in the pit. For him to live in this earth for 1 year was like us being in a cesspool. Wasn't it? He did it for 33 years, brother. 33 years. But he did it willingly for the joy set before. And in his death, Mindy and I were talking about death this morning on the way here, that we don't get to choose the means of our death. We don't. It's not going to be like you think it is. You might die in pain. You might die of cancer. You might die of this virus. You might die of a car wreck. It's not going to be. We can't choose our... People don't choose. Your husband wouldn't have chosen to die like he did. You wouldn't have chosen for him to do that. But God did. And he witnessed a good testimony. That gave great glory. Unbelief and fear dishonors God. It discourages the brethren. It grieves the Spirit of God. Why don't you trust me? We don't get to choose the means of our death. God does. And the bounds and the time. So what should we do? Trust him. Fear not. Fear not. Huh? Whatever the means are, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. It's taking me home. Our Lord was rich. He chose his death. Do I need to remind you what he chose? What about me? What would I not endure for that? What's wrong with me? Don't I love him? He was rich. He was rich toward God. Rich. He had nothing. He had no place. He was a homeless man. But he was not like one of these fellas. Many of them are charlatans. They're standing on the street corner and a part of a collaborative work where they all pool their money to a pimp somewhere. I'm telling you the truth. If they worked as hard at trying to get a job as they do standing on the street corner, they'd have something to eat. Our Lord was not a homeless man in that sense, okay? But he chose not to have a home. He had one suit of clothes on, one pair of shoes. Why? To show us God provides. God is my dwelling place. I don't need a place to lay my head. I'm underneath the everlasting arms. I dwell in the shadow of the Almighty. That's what he showed us very clearly. He had no fear of anyone or anything ever. That's rich. We got a mighty poor faith on it. We're afraid of almost everything. He had no fear. Nothing anyone said could bother him. Nothing that he saw bothered him. Nothing anyone, they were just yelling all the noisome pestilence. He just is calm. Just peace. That's rich. You know that? People spend all their lives, we spend all our lives trying to make ourselves happy. It's not going to happen. You can't make this flesh happy. It's insatiable. And I tell you what, in times of trouble, when the great storms of life happen, ain't a thing in this world, ain't a person in this world can give you any peace. That's right. None. Our riches can't buy it. Our brethren, our people can't give it to us. Our Lord was rich in peace. The greatest storm the disciples had ever seen. What was he doing? Sleeping. That's rich, isn't it? That's rich. And he told his disciples, and he's telling us, if you had that much faith, you'd be faced with a mountain and he'd overcome it. just that much. We're very poor. You know that? We're very poor. Very poor. Where does this rich come from? from our Lord. He has it all. All right, look at verses. Yeah, I'm out of time. So he said, let's just read it, 22 and following. He said unto his disciples, this is to us, therefore, I say unto you, dire warnings to others. But he's talking to his true disciples. Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for your body, what you shall put on. What about dying? He just said that, didn't he? Don't fear them that kill the body. Who's them? Anything, anyone, don't fear. Don't fear them. Why? Because if that's all they can do. The life is more than meat. The body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap, neither have storehouse nor barn. God feedeth them. That's a worthless bird, isn't it? You know these starlings come into your yard? Oh, man, I want to just shoot them all. God feeds every single person in this world that doesn't even give him a thought. Worthless birds. But he's so good. His tender mercies. And they don't give him a thought. Brothers, we were born again to a higher, something higher than that. To acknowledge our God and to live for his glory. And to live in faith, believing him. The world doesn't. Consider them. And which of you take thought can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. Yet I say unto you, Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. God so clothed the grass which is today in the field, tomorrow is cast into the oven. How much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? We're so concerned about our appearances, aren't we? Oh, my. Oh, seek ye not that what you shall eat or what you shall drink? That's no better than animalism. Neither be of doubtful mind. Read on, verse 30. All these things do the nations of the world seek after. Your Father knoweth you have need of these things. But rather, here it is, seek ye the kingdom of God. And our Lord said in his word, seeking me, you shall find me when you search for me with all your heart. Seek means to continually, constantly, never quit. And all these things will be added unto you. Fear. This is the verse that as a young believer, I was struggling so with sin and the world and just thought I was going to perish and be cast out. It's walking the train, Brother Stephen, walking the train at 2 a.m. by myself. Sin and struggling and all that, you know, how we do. And this verse came to my mind. Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So while we do have trouble with covetousness, and he warns us, beware of it. Aren't you glad we're kept by the power of God? Aren't you glad that the Lord, if he takes it away, he'll with it give a way to escape? Verse 33. So sell. Here's his counsel. Sell that you have. Give on. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old. A treasure in the heaven. A treasure that faileth not. No thief approach it, neither not moth corrupt. For where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. So, what a word that is. It's so needful. May the Lord... Oh, give us ears to hear and a heart to receive. Okay.